broadcasting live from somewhere in the desert, posting up truth like a stamp in the corner of a letter. It's Leander Grace, that loud. Amid lies, we seek truth. Amid truth, we awaken. And once awakened, we speak truth everywhere. Now we're opening night and powering to reveal what's been hidden in plain sight. It's time for Leander Grace Out Loud, because your silence will not protect you. Oh, Shabbat Shalom and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Morning to some, afternoon to others, but a hearty hello nonetheless to Lottie Dottie and every other body. And we bring you tonight some more scriptures and scuttlebutts here on Holistic Truth. We are part of a Nazarene network broadcasting live on Blog Talk Radio. It is Friday, December 22nd, 2023, 12:22. It's the 22th. It's still the 22th. And we're broadcasting live from the high mountain desert. I am your host, Leander Grace. It is an amazing time to be alive. Spirit is moving and aware and awake and about the business of the one thing, diligently contending for the faith. And we're all going through our little battles. We all got our things as Holy Spirit continues to guide our battle, knowing we are given only our daily bread and a daily reprieve based upon our spiritual fitness. Going forward with the full armor of Yahweh Elohim, we know the battle is won, but we must show up. We still, through the throughness, we must go, right? So Holy Spirit is moving in this great awakening, continuing to move, continuing to accelerate across the face of the earth. Many things that were upside down are being turned upside right. We're seeing the law being recognized, at least come people, those who do not recognize the law, come to terms with that. We're seeing it on the world stage. I think we're going to continue to see more of that. But this isn't a political program, but it is a law. It is a law. Ah, it's a Torah. It's a program about Torah. So change is upon us, and we know this. We can feel it. There's a high intensity and an expectation. It was very tense for a while, and now it's kind of, hopefully, we've been able to pull it down a little bit with prayer and praise and all of those things. But change is upon us, upon every dimension and layer of change that we as a species and we the people can conceive, and on levels and dimensions that we cannot yet imagine. There's going to be some changing and some shaking. The Father says he's going to shake not only the earth but the heavens again. He needs to wake a few more up and press a few more and see what's going to be going. And not all who are gifted are in and of the light. And that's the tragedy of it. Sometimes they masquerade as children of light and presenting their gifts and doing this and that. And when you find out there is no fruit, then they protect that with deception. The harlot's in the house and the thief is at the door. And it is definitely time to come away from the tents. Maybe soon past time. We hope not. Make no mistake, folks. Do not be deceived. We're at war. And it is escalated, and it is accelerated, and it is spread across the face of the earth. We're seeing it. We're seeing it. We're seeing evil itself on our streets. We're seeing evil work out its evil plan on the streets. Now, understand, just as I have a guardian team that helps me connect and with the Father and with Yeshua, all of these things that are going on, the other side had the same thing. And we've been fighting. There are minions left, and they are connected in a network, just as some of us are connected telepathically in a network. They, when we move, we move. When they move, and the plural is acceptable to use. Now, we may not all be thinking the same thing, but it's all the same spirit moving the same thing. We have our Holy Spirit moving us, and the Word of God, and the Word of God, and His sayings. And we also have the other side that is getting their orders in from a different source. And it's been going, and it's going to continue to go. And we're going to be fighting this. Now, I have a sticky note episode. What we're going to do is basically sum up. You know, it's like, let me explain. Nope, there's no time. So let me sum up. That was personal. So we can't win this battle alone, folks, right? We're not only in battle, but at war. We're not fighting against people, although the people are involved, and although the wickedness uses the people. Okay, just like Hamas uses human shields to keep us from fighting back because we don't want to hurt the good guys too or the innocent people. Well, it's the same thing with the darkness. The darkness will crowd around an individual and whisper, 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 and get them to do bad things against somebody else who may or may not be righteous. Doesn't matter. It's the chaos that they're after. And when the chaos goes, they feel empowered and they can grow and grow because we become fearful. We don't know how big we are. We become fearful and we shrink. Sometimes that happens, right? I know all of us, raising my hand, the we is inclusive, you know, can think of a time when we shrank a little bit at least. Maybe not everybody, but some of us. And that's what I'm talking about. Do not let the darkness make you shrink, okay? You have the power of God within you. And this is the time where we're at a crescendo. There is a crescendo coming, okay? This is the opera that's been playing out, this whole orchestra from God. And it's coming to a crescendo. We can feel it. So understand in the next days, evil's going to get really excited as they're ripped out by the roots and they put claw marks on their desk as they pull them away. That was personal. I'm going to say some personal things. The applications are still true, but there's a very direct reason why I'm saying these things. There's a recognition. So evil, when we rip it out by the roots, it doesn't have any root. You say, well, Leanna Grace, if it doesn't have any root, why are we ripping it out by the roots? Well, because it gets rooted in us. It gets rooted within us. There is a central force. It's not a root. It has no root. It is an error. It was an error that has taken root. And the only ones who have a root are those that come from God. I want you guys to see this, that there are two different factions, those who are of God, those who are not of God. And those who are of God can be influenced to work for those who are not of God. Those who are not of God are generally not influenced to work with those who are of God unless it's under direct distress and duress from a higher power, be it physical or other. So it's prison rules with them, which is why they can't win, because everybody wants to enslave everybody else on that team. On our team, it's about freedom. Not just freedom from government, not just freedom, but freedom from the effects of sin that we have been exposed to over an extended period of time, over generations. And we have had a picture painted for us that is incorrect, and so we get a little closer to the picture, and it's not quite correct, but we fight for that one. Now, we saw this happen before during the Protestant Reformation, right, when the Protestants left Europe and they came over here to the New World. And that was all well and good, but they didn't have a root. They didn't have a basic. All they knew is that they were running from that, and they wanted to stick with this. And that is good, that there's nothing wrong with that. That was not an error, but error came in because pride came in. And then we have the factions and all the churches split apart. That's exactly what the adversary wanted to have happen. When we let error take root in us, it will, guaranteed 100%, eventually cause destruction. That's what it's designed for. That's its only thought. It's its only purpose. So we need to understand that the enemy that we're dealing with is not just some gunslinger that's full of themselves. It's evil. And it wants everything else to taste it. There's another choice. There's another taste. There's another piece of wisdom that's been passed down through the ages. There's always the soldier to carry the cross. That's personal. So we're going into a time of crescendo. People are unnerved. I want to tell you, don't be. If you love God, pray without ceasing, treat each other well, take care of each other. We don't know what's going to happen exactly next. We all have an expectation. What I'm going to ask is that we keep our expectations in check and keep our eyes on the Lord. Because our expectations become imaginations, and then our imaginations become something else. Let me go ahead and clear my throat. You know, there's a lot of unclean birds in the area. And when unclean birds, those are unclean entities. They're going to be whispering in the middle of the heat, in the middle of the times. Don't listen to them. Keep your eyes on Jesus. You remember that he is the living water, and we're going to go over some of these memes that I have up here. Basically, this is a meme program. We're going to go ahead and go over some of these codes, these things that the Father has revealed to me to release to you. And some of it's been released before, but it's time now to put it all together and make it spell mom, or at least mother. So when we go, as we go through the program tonight, I want you to remain with a Berean mind, but I want you to listen with your heart, because there'll be things that they're going to be said through me that I'm not even aware of. They may be directly for someone. I don't know why I'm saying them, but I'll be saying them. And Holy Spirit and I, evidently we've got this kind of worked out just a little bit. So I lost track. I got a little message there, and I lost track for just a second. So remember, too, you should listen to the broadcast or the podcast. I'm just going to pick up on a script here. Listen to the broadcast or the podcast, pod people. We love you, too. Question everything. Research it. Question everything. Cultivate that Berean mind and a seeker's heart. Acts 17:11, these are no more noble. I want you to be more noble than those that are in Thessalonica in that they receive the word with all readiness of mind. But and search the scriptures daily whether those things were so. So that's what we do, is we double check it here, and hopefully we'll be able to on this wide-ranging broadcast. I'm not sure how far out this is going to go. They've got live broadcast problems and issues here. We do have someone else with me, so hopefully they can give a record or a recording, and I do see you there in the queue. It'll be a while before I take calls. If you want to talk, go ahead and feel free to hit the number one on your dial after the first break. If I'm moved by the Father to accept them, understand that this is informational broadcast. And I'll tell you, this informational broadcast is going to be something. So research what you hear so you can own your own experience. Revelation 14:12 reminds us that here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and not just that, but and the faith of Yeshua. And it is good to be back with you. We had a week break. Some of it was technical errors, and some of it was study time that I needed to do. Last episode, I talked about the different valleys, the valley of Jehoshaphat, and then going to the valley of decision. And one application is not necessarily interchangeable with the other. One was out of context, and one was in context. And then the valley of the shadow of death, where we discussed that. And we're in the valley of the shadow of death. It not only refers to the Palestinian area that has the Rephaim, exactly. You see this pattern emerging where these things are going, and the Rephaim are ghosts, right? So when David was praying, yea, though I walk through Palestine, yea, though I walk through the Gaza Strip, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. So when you come to the Blog Talk Radio page, you'll see a bunch of memers going on, and I'm going to go ahead and go back to the front with mine and kind of take mine in context, or take them in order, rather. And I have a lot to put out in a little bit of time, but I think the Father's going to, got enough coffee here. I think I can give you six hours of material in 20 minutes. That was personal. All right, so Hebrew word of the day, Torah. That's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about Torah, because we know on the world stage what's going on is they have made void our constitutional law as well as making void God's law. We want God to move because they have made void God's law. They have made void our national laws. Who are they? The ones who seek to control those of the darkness, those that are infected with the darkness, or they carry the darkness, or they were created by it, even though they have physical bodies. This is what we need to understand. There is a next level of ick all around us. So the word of the day today, the Hebrew word of the day today is Torah. Torah. Now we all have an emotional bond to the word Torah. Every one of us. We know what the word is, but how is it presented? If you think Torah are just for Judah, just for Jews, or just for the tribe of Judah, you're wrong. Of Israel. And I think that we can look out on the world stage and find out that the children of Israel without Torah is like a fish without water. Because look at the mess we find ourselves in, having not followed either our laws or God's laws. So there you have that. And so the word of the day is Torah. Now, considering the fact that to the children of Israel, Torah is living water, understand that when Christ came in Matthew 4:15, when he said, was it 4:19, 4:15, 4:19, 4:19, and he said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. How do you fish men? You're going to manipulate them? You're going to bait them in? You're going to what? No. You're going to bring them to Torah. When we need, fish need water. They need to be brought into the water. Humans need Torah like fish need water. And so when Jesus came and he said to the ones that were mending the nets, come follow me and I will make you fishers of men, they knew exactly what he was talking about. Come, I'm going to spread Torah. It's kind of a cool saying, isn't it? We're going to bring Torah. We're going to bring people to Torah, not Torah to people. Understand that this is important. We also know that in Psalms 119:1, Torah is the way. In Psalms 119:142, Torah is life. Torah is truth. In Deuteronomy 32:46-47, we find out that Torah is life. We know that Messiah is the way. We know that Messiah is the truth. We know that Messiah is the life. We can conclude, as John 1:14 says, Messiah is Torah. Let me flip this page. Now, Torah is also the light. We find that in John 8:12. Yeshua is the light. Yeshua is the Torah. In John 8:12, it says, again, Yeshua spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. For the commandment, we find out in Proverbs 6:23, for the commandment is a lamp, and the Torah a light, and the reproofs of discipline are the way of life. Right? Discipline's a way of life. Self-discipline in ourselves according to Torah. It's not stuffy. Let me tell you, you can party in Torah too. You can do it. So on the next page we've got, I want to go ahead and reveal what everybody else is upset about revealing. That is, you know, Barack Hussein Obama, his whole name creates a satanic matrix. It just does. He himself is a satanic matrix. He just is. His name, Hussein, it says it all. Barack, I saw lightning fall from the sky. There's proof there on Blog Talk Radio. And then, of course, when we're talking about the mark, it's over the right hand or the forehead. That's the very mark of Hussein's name that's on the bandana of ISIS and every other jihadi that's out there. So that is the number of his name. It's the number of a man. And he is a man with a satanic matrix. Remember, there's good folks and there's bad folks. There's those who are trying to bring people to Torah, and there are those who are trying to tear people out of Torah and capture them in a boat where they will die. Do you get this picture? That's personal. That's what the whole thing of I Pet Goat 2 was about, taking the people out of the water and putting them in the boat. They're taking them out of Torah, removing God's law, removing them from God's law, by putting everything else in front of us that's yummy, yummy candy or fun for tricks or for kids. So the child catchers have caught our attention. Dare I say we must be careful, because our children's imagination is being captured by wickedness. Our imagination was captured by wickedness. Some of our imaginations are still captured by wickedness. Some of us out there, on that I don't think I'm going to raise my hand, because if I keep my eyes on the Father and my nose in the book, you can party in Torah. Then wickedness doesn't have a chance to take root. I don't pay attention to the wickedness. I ignore it. And if it gets too close, I shoo it away. It may look good. It may have sugar sweet on it and all that stuff, but it's poison to those who live in Torah. So 2 Thessalonians 2, 9 to 12, it says, even him who is coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness, we know that's right, deceivableness and unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth. They have no root in truth. They have no root in Torah. They have no root in light. They have no root in water. They have no root in God. And they can only survive by sucking us dry. That's the truth of it. And for this cause, God shall send them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not Torah, believed not Messiah, believed not the light, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Let me clear my throat. So we're looking at a picture here coming together where we can see the influences of everything that's been hidden in plain sight. The next slide on our Blog Talk Radio page is the Hagia Sophia. And Hagia Sophia, the question I have asked under that is, why is this abominable filth hanging in this holy place? The Hagia Sophia was built specifically for an individual named Sophia and the child. That's for another broadcast. This is where we're told that Satan's seat is in Revelation. I know thy works, but see, where is it? Yes, Revelation 2:12. And the angel of the church of Pergamos write, these things saith he with the sharp sword, the two edges. Revelation 2:13. I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is, and thou holdest fast my name and hast not denied and hast not denied my faith, even in those days where Antipas, who was my faithful martyr, was slain among you, where Satan dwelleth. So it's all coming together. We have Hussein's little monocle right there all over the place in the middle of a holy place. And it's abominable. So let's talk for a minute about how God used Torah to save the world. We're going to talk about how God used Torah to save the world. He used the law to save the world. He used the light to save the world. He used Messiah to save the world. In the beginning, when everything went haywire, nobody paid attention to anything, got yucky, yucky, yucky. Well, as it was in the days of Noah, so are we. And evil was in their heart continually. And out of an extreme act of love to save his creation, the Father flooded the earth, baptized it, flooded the earth. And the few righteous that were there were taken in the ark. And that was the beginning of the new mankind. In that new beginning, pardon me, was the instructions for both sides. Noah carried a perfect generation of genetics and seed and soul and heart. And he followed the Lord perfectly, or he would never have made it out of there alive. When they started over, there was mixed seed. Why is that? Because both sides get a fair shot. Both the darkness and the light have claim to this land. Now, when did the adversary lose possession of this earth? When Jesus rose again. When did we realize it? Some of us just tonight. Understand that they could not capture our souls, just like the children of Israel when they were going through the desert and they came across the Moabites and wanted Balaam to, Balak wanted Balaam to curse them to smithereens. And the only thing that came out was blessings. He goes, I can't curse these. I cannot. I'm trying. I can't curse them. It's not going to happen. So, just like in that time, There won't be a curse that comes down for us now either. There is no curse against the children of Israel or against Jacob. Jacob separated himself from Shechem. Understand this. And the direct results of Shechem is that we have seen a generational problem within Judah ever since. Why Judah? Because it is the tribes that remained. It has the hand that can actually subdue the enemies. And there's a lot in there to go digging through. But God continuously used Torah. Now he flooded the earth. He got the mixed thing. What happened with Abraham? Abraham was set aside. He was nearly killed. His father is like, no. Set aside, and he was trained. And then he had a come to Jesus moment, or a who is God moment, and developed a personal relationship with God. And the covenant was made, and he didn't have to do a thing. He says, you go to sleep, you do all the cutting, and then you go to sleep, and I'm going to do the little dilly-do that I got to do, and you're covenanted. All you got to do is just go where I say and do what I do. Nothing. That it wasn't even Abraham's his friend. Nothing was required. So he has his son Isaac, and the pattern of sacrifice was established. Now, understand that people do not like the word sacrifice, but I use that as a bridge term. It was an atoning move. It was paying the price that the adversary required for breaking the rules on the land that he had the right to, the deed. He owned the deed. Why? Because Adam and Eve bowed. And when Christ rose from the dead, when he died on the cross, all prices were paid. All accounts were fulfilled. Do you understand the 70 times 7? That's the accounting through Torah that we have done to forgive the sins of the adversary. They're done. We're done. They're past 490. They're way past 70 times 7. And God is patient and lets them accumulate all kinds of odor about them so that there is definitely a difference between the us's and the them's. Remember, he said we're going to grow up together, and then at harvest time, he'll know the wheat from the tares, because the wheat is so heavy in Torah that it bows its head. Yeah! You feel that's that final watering, and it soaks up all that Torah from the roots, right? From the ground, soaks it up, soaking up Torah. The grain gets full, and then it bows its head. Because there's a term now, Protestants, Northern Kingdom, I want you to learn this. There's a term I learned going through this whole week of studying, because I wanted to find an answer from the Father. In his word, there was a lot. Ooh, found out a lot. But I found a word that I wasn't aware of. And the term, I don't even know if it's a real word, it's called Mah. M-A-H is the transliteration of it. And it says, whoa, I'm not going to get this correct because I haven't been in the culture. But the whole effect of it is, you know, woe is the child of Israel. It says Jew, but woe is the child of Israel that loses their ma. And ma is a little mark on the Hebraic letters that's also interpreted as a sign of humility. So woe to us when we lose our ma, right? We don't want to lose our ma. We got to stay ma, full of ma, and bow our heads. Is that making sense? I love it. It's beautiful. His word is altogether gorgeous. The whole scenario, everything that we're doing from the beginning even to the now is just an amazing, it's amazing stuff. So I thought I'd share that. Now we're going to go ahead and go into a break. Looking over here, nope, no attention's needed on that. Do still have someone in the queue. I think they're just going to sit and listen, and that's great. Glad to have you with me. So there you go. So here, let's go ahead and look over here in the queue, see what I got for some music. I want to take a little bit of a break. Isn't this nice? Kind of summing up all the things that came about and all that. Yeah, absolutely. So one of the ways, before we go to break, understand, we said that Torah is light, Torah is life, and Torah is all of these things. Torah is all of this. And there is a misperception that has gone around in the Northern Kingdom and the Christian area and Protestants and Catholics as well. It's not so much a belief, but there's a question. In the churches, people just shake their head and say, well, it's kind of the way we answer the question. You know, will all of the Jews who keep Torah go to heaven? And the Baptist preacher says, well, we don't know. Why not? Why don't we know? Because we don't read the front of the book. And the front of the book says in Isaiah 65, 1-2, the children of the foreigner who join themselves to Yahweh to serve him and to love the name of Yahweh, to be his servants, everyone who keeps from defiling the Sabbath and holds fast my covenant, even them I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. And you say, well, Leander Grace, that sounds like a direct contradiction to what Jesus said. I am the way and the truth and the life. No man come unto the Father but by me. And did we not just describe all of those things as being Torah? There you have it. Out of the mouth of Isaiah 65, 1 and 2, out of the mouth of the Father, the prophet, it put the words in his mouth. And it is written. So for all of those of you who are pointing a finger going, hoozy, woozy, juicy, boozy, get up off the back about it, would you? Yeah, that'd be good. Because God loves all of his children. And you don't get to talk bad about them, no matter who you are and no matter who they are. There's no fighting in his house, and there's no killing on his mountain. And if you got hate in your heart for your brother, you don't get to see it. Not my words. Those are written. Those are written. Now, a couple of weeks ago, we played a song in memoriam. The rest is still unwritten. But this part, this is written. What we do with it is still unwritten. And we have a choice. We do not have to go to war. And we will talk about that on the other side of the break. I am your host, Leander Grace, bringing it to you live from the high mountain desert, posting up truth like a stamp in the corner of a letter, and that's personal as well. So let's go ahead and see what we got. Oh, let's worship his majesty, because that's what God is, and that's the mindset that we need to remember to have when we approach his throne. You know, when I puke my guts out, that's kind of sometimes the way it is. You know, it's still in front of his majesty. And he understands it. So talk to God. He waits for your call. I am your host, Leander Grace. This is Majesty. We'll be back.
Worship his majesty. Unto Jesus be all glory, honor, and praise. Majesty, kingdom authority flows from his throne unto his own.
lies, we seek truth. Amid truth, we awaken. It's Leander Grace Out Loud, because your silence will not protect you. Oh no, your silence won't protect you, and my silence won't protect you, and not hearing from the Father doesn't protect us. That's why he's constantly telling us the truth all day long. Is that not right? Can I get an amen? I know I heard at least one of those. All right, so let's go ahead and move on. Welcome back to the program. This is Scriptures and Scuttlebutts on this beautiful Sabbath evening. And we're talking about the culmination of events. We're summing up. We're summing up kind of the stuff that has been challenging us. So what the Father has given me to sum up that he sees has been challenging us as a whole, as a body of believers. And he thinks it's funny when I say Ecclesia too. So anyway, body of believers. Thank you. We're going to go ahead and first of all say thank you, Father, just as the meme says, for your word. Your word is truth. All your ways are righteous. Now, people, I want to tell you that that is a key phrase to keep in the forefront of our mind, right in the very middle of the dot in your forehead, and make that I singular. Because when all hell breaks loose around you, and it may, understand that God's got this. He has his word. He's given his word. He keeps his promises. His word is truth, and all of his ways are righteous. If that's correct, if we believe that, we don't need to be afraid. Unless we think that we are so bad and we got sin that we think God's going to zap us to toast. And I want to tell you, I'm here to witness and to testify to you that God loves you. Even no matter if you love him and you haven't done any rank things. I mean, there's some rank things that I'm not going to go through the list and stuff. So you got a foul mouth. I've had that. Sometimes still get that. God's working. Maybe you've been a gossip. Everyone's been a gossip at least once. God knows that. He loves you. And I want to sum up covenant. He loves you so much. He knew we would be in this place right now today having an argument over the flipping Christmas trees. Yeah, I said it on Scriptures and Scuttlebutts. You bet you I did. And the reason that we're arguing over it is because we haven't had a global knowledge of the definitions. And so the Father was able to bring the argument out in front of us, both for examination of the argument and examination of our hearts, examination of our minds, our direction, and our commitment. Now, let's talk about the rest of the word. Did everything about Jeremiah that I brought on one of the programs apply? Yes, it did. Did they do those things? Yes, it did. But what did God say? I was in prayer with the Father. I was like, Father, there's got to be a way to redeem the Christmas tree. I like Christmas. I love Christmas trees. But if the Father says no, then, I mean, I enjoy them. You get the idea. If the Father says no, then the answer is no, and he has a reason. And this is where my walk of faith has come. So I was pouring my heart out to him. He goes, you missed something. I said, well, what did I miss? He goes, I'll show you in a minute. And so I was praying about it, and it took a couple days, you know, and I was praying about it, and I was praying about it. And I said, now I know. And it's like, I know it's coming. I know. So he brought me the scripture to bless everything and to end it. And so I want us to go ahead, if you have your Bibles with you, you should, if your scriptures and scuttlebutts would be a good idea. Don't mean to should on you, right? But Hosea 14 is where we're going. So there you have that. I see your hand raised. Yes, I do. So let's go ahead and take a look at this, at Hosea 14. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen in thine iniquity. This is what it says. Take with you words and turn to the Lord. Say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously, so we will render the calves of our lips. Now that's the fruit of our lips, actually. And I'm going to go ahead and use the concordant literal version from here on out. Okay, in verse 2 it says, in fact, let me just start over, guys, because I like the concordant literal version for this. it takes the essence. The King James Version got a little sticky with that, and I think it might have been on purpose. So the Concordant Literal Version says, "Return, O Israel, unto Yahweh, your Elohim, for you stumble in your depravity. Take words with you and return to Yahweh, your Elohim. Say to him, wilt thou bear away all the depravity? Take the good, and we will repay with the fruit of our lips. Assyria will not save us. We will not ride on the horse, nor shall we still say our Elohim to the work of our hands. For in you the orphan is being shown compassion. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them willingly, for my anger is reversed from him. I will become as the night mist to Israel. He shall bud as the anemone and shall stretch out his roots as Lebanon. His layer plants shall go, and his splendor shall become as the olive and his scent as Lebanon. The dwellers in his shadow shall return, and they shall make grain to live. The remembrance of him shall be as the wine of Lebanon. Ephraim, what are grief fetishes to him any longer? I humble him. I am controlling him. And I am as a flourishing tree. Your fruit is found to be from me." So I am as a green fir tree is the Young's literal translation. I am as a green fir tree. From me is thy fruit found. So the Lord just equated himself with a green fir tree. And as you see in the meme that I placed on Block Talk Radio, it's got the fruit and it's got the pine cone and it's got the stuff and it's got the why not. And it was in the Word the whole time. But did we see it? So the Father had us create the revelation for you to do this so you can see it. Now I want to talk about this next little part here. And this is not a complete revelation that I have posted on there with truth. It is as much as I could get out in time. There's more to teach on it. So let's take a look at that. Now we know, and I think I talked about this before, but we know the Word is truth. And we know that Jesus is truth and the way and the truth and the life. But what does this mean? And we also open up the program. We say, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman who need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know, and for years we've got this canonized thing of KJV in front of us. We're thinking this word is truth, and this is true, but there's more. And then we found out that there was all kinds of other extra-biblical, not soon to be canonized, right, manuscripts. And sorry, just saw a picture. And all soon to be canonized manuscripts. I say soon to be canonized manuscripts, and a whole different picture arises. All of the holes and the dots seem to start connecting themselves, and pretty soon the picture is laid out in front of us, and that's what I'm hoping to do today. So the word truth in Hebrew is Aleph Mem Tav, A-M-T for us, but it's not quite this, Aleph Mem Tav. And it will always be Aleph Mem Tav. That's how you spell truth. And it also is a reflection of a man covenanting a woman. And it's also a reflection of the first Aleph covenant with the last, the Tav. And so we're going to take a look at this completed covenant and how it could possibly be. And we're going to talk about, once again, praise God that he saves the world with Torah. Now, there's a thing, you know, this is my understanding, pretty sure it's correct, but there's a thing in Judaism that if they, you know, there is a system of belief, there are those who believe in Judaism, that if they accept and recognize Jesus Christ as Messiah, that means all of the other covenant is done away with. If they accept Jesus Christ as Messiah, that means all of Torah is broken because Jews know something we don't. Jews know something they don't. We don't. The Protestants. That's not taught. We're not taught Torah. We're not taught Hebrew. We're not taught the letters. We're not taught the sounds. We're not taught. We learn, but we're not taught. So let's go ahead. This is the completed covenant. The Aleph, we're going to go through A-M-N-T in an outlined form. So Aleph is the first. first letter. Abraham was the first covenant. Now, we're talking about a personal covenant. We're not talking about the Noah covenant. The Noahic covenant stands. So the Olive the Abraham covenant. And then from that covenant, we received a promised son. And then, and I'm going to use loose words not to be blaspheming, but to use them as an analogy. And then the pantomime of the sacrifice pattern was given. Did the sacrifice occur? Yes, but God provided himself a ram. And so Isaac has Jacob. Now, I want to talk a little bit about, we'll have enough time, talk a minute about Jacob. Jacob was not a thief. Jacob was not a deceiver. Jacob didn't have to be. His mother, Rebecca, gave him instructions. He squawked. He says, but Mom, there's a curse. She says, I will take the curse. Do you understand how this works? So the guilt was taken on to the mother. Mother took the curse. We get this. All right. So anything that happened from being deceptive to Isaac was on the mother's head. And then Jacob goes to Laban, and he didn't deceive anybody, but he was totally deceived over and over and over again. And then he wrestles with an angel, and the angel names him Israel. A covenant is established between Israel and Jacob. I want us to understand that. There's an asterisk there. I didn't explain it. I want us to think about it. I want people to dive. There was a covenant relationship between Jacob and Israel. Joseph was his promised son from Rachel. Remember, he wanted Rachel. That was going to be his first wife, but then there was the switcheroo. Yeah, and the one he wasn't so fond of, when, you know, the one that he was actually, it's not about fondness. He received her in deceit, from deception. So now his promised son would be Joseph, the first one that was promised. So we have that. And then he was sold into slavery and became a captive. And then he was saved from slavery. And then he reigned and he saved the world. He basically saved the world through all of his actions, not just the land of Egypt. So God put him there for a reason. Everything that went wrong was to get him where he needed to be so that he could do what he needed to do to save the world. So now we've got the middle. What happened after that? Well, they came out, right, of Israel, and we've got the we got the middle, we got the Moses, we got the law, we got Torah. Torah exists before? Yes, it did, but the people had forgotten Torah, and so when they came out of Egypt, they needed to have it presented to them again. I'm not going to go through all of the things, but these are the steps. So Torah was represented to them, and I want us to draw our attention to the fact that the things that Moses came down to the mountain with were tablets and the law and instructions. There were tablets and the law and instructions. I wonder what color the tablets were. I'm just asking some questions. So from Moses then, by the time he got us to the promised land, we had a promised son, Joshua, son of Nun, son of Seed. But after all, then we're going to not skip David, but David is not part of the conversation. The ending result was after David, after Solomon, there was a splitting. Torah was broken in Israel. The covenant was broken in Israel. The covenant between the man and the woman was broken in Israel. The Aleph and the Mem and the Tav were broken. What are we going to do? Enter the Tav. The last, Yeshua, sacrificed. Now, understand, the adversary requires the price of blood, not Yahweh Elohim. Yahweh Elohim said, I require mercy. I'd rather have mercy and not sacrifice. So we have to understand that because there was a deed to us, he owned us. The adversary owned us. He owned this place until Jesus died and paid that price. And then the covenant was restored and completed. The promised son delivered. Now, on the cross, he was cut. He was pierced in his side, so he was karat. He was cut in covenant. Karat does not just mean cut off. Karat goes back to the very first use of the word karat, which means the rainbow was cut in covenant. So we have this cutting is a covenant cutting, and it gives the authority to establish a new covenant, just like we talked about in Abraham. His legs, however, he was on the middle cross. We've got the two bad guys on the other side, and then we have him on the cross. We had the covenant in the middle, right? He's Torah. We know he's Torah. We know he's covenant. We know that. He's the Mem. So the Mem in the middle, the covenant in the middle, wasn't broken. So all of the promises and all of the covenant is restored, and all of the blessings and all of the things are restored to the children of Israel through him. Through him completing this covenant. Now, there were two things that were said on the cross. One is he says it's accomplished. Or actually he says, now having perceived that all things had been accomplished, he said, I thirst. And then they brought him the vinegar. Why did he wait till then? Everything had to be accomplished before he broke his Nazarite vow of no wine and no vinegar. He had a mission, and his was a high one. So then it was okay to break it and thirst. He found out it was vinegar. He didn't want to drink it. He wasn't done. Not all was accomplished. When all was accomplished, meaning whatever that means, and there's a whole bunch of things to go, that's another program. Then he says, I thirst. And then he said, what did he say? It is finished. Woman, here's your son. Here's your mother. Now, does it matter who they were saying it to? Well, it does on the surface when we understand the relationship of giving your mother over to the care of your son or your friend or your brother or whatever. But there's more to it than that. The word truth itself held the key, and the very word of in Acts 17, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So if we look at this, how do we divide it? We divide it into Aleph and Tav with Mem in the middle, Aleph and Tav with a covenant in the middle. Now, a Mem has the stomach and the Mem have two different endings, or two different ways to write it. If it's in the middle of a word, or just a love, for the sake of brevity, if it's in the middle of a word, it's an open Mem. And if it's in the ending of a word, or the ending of a, there's a lot of endings, then the Mem is closed. It's a closed Mem. So if the Mem is also a Mishka or a covenant, then he closed the covenant. He completed the covenant, and the Mem closed. When you spell the word truth with an open Mem, when it's Aleph, open Mem, Tav, when the covenant is open, the word is truth. When the covenant is complete, Aleph, Mem, Tav spells mother. People, he was telling us on the cross, here's your mother. Now understand that the Hebrews know something that the Protestants don't. They were looking for a female Messiah. What they didn't understand is the voice was inside him. I want you to follow this. The voice was inside him. That's important. So when they crucified truth on the cross, they killed their son, and there was a mother. That's what the Hebrews were waiting to hear. That's what the Jews needed to see, is that mother was there, as defined by all the steps that were carried out to point out all of the particulars of this act of completing prophecy, of fulfilling every leg of the journey to the cross faithfully. Was it just Jesus? No, there's generations of those who were carrying the cross. Generations of those. Well, we've got Abraham. Did he carry it? Well, no. The covenant was established. He talked to the voice. Moses, did he carry it? Well, he was guided by it, but he talked to the voice. What about Joshua, son of Nun? Well, he had his instance of holy ground. He had a holy ground moment. So we've got all of these folks having holy ground moments. Did Jesus have a holy ground moment? Jesus was holy ground. And Jesus was the one guiding. The spirit of Yeshua was the same spirit guiding through all of this to get the open mem to the closed mem. That was the point. That's why he needed the absolute strict adherence and faith and following to the word and to the sayings, because there's a pattern that needed to be fulfilled. And every time the pattern's broken, then there's karma. There's a cleaning up that has to take place, and the adversary will take advantage every time. You know what happened to Job? The adversary will take advantage every opportunity to put the children of God in a chokehold and try to get us to say uncle rather than mother. Pray to God. Praise God. And give your glory to the Father. The opera is in crescendo. Things are occurring at breakneck speed. And the quickening is definitely occurring. Definitely occurring. So he stands at the door and knocks. If anyone answers, he will come in and sup with them, and he with me. We have decisions to make. Do you want to be a part of a family of God? Are you willing to confess, not to me, not to a priest, not to anybody else, but to God, the exact nature, and have him clean it? He's the only one that can make things well. I am your host, Leanna Grace. We've been broadcasting live from the high mountain desert. I hope you have found value in tonight's broadcast or podcast. Pod people, we love you too. Good Lord willing, and the creek don't rise. The plan is to be live on air on Monday. We'll see what happens. He stands at the door and knocks. When that happens, people open it and surrender. And if you don't know what to do after that, just open the book, and I will guarantee you 100% Holy Spirit will guide you. This is the time of Holy Spirit, and it is hot. I am your host, Leanna Grace, reminding you to, as always, to watch for the signposts. Connect these dots. Find your path. Live in love. And do something good, because we will all learn to forgive. Until next time, good night.
There is a kingdom in every soul, some brightly burning, some dark and cold. There is a spirit who brings a fire, ignites a candle, and makes his own. hearts are blazing, so let's raise.